May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So I love New York-style bagels. Anybody else? These are the bagels that are right in New York City that you can't get any. I don't know why they are so good compared to any other bagels. And yesterday, Nancy and I were visiting my sister who lives in Manhattan, and right on across the street, she lives at West 98th, 240 West 98th and Broadway. There's a bagel shop right there. And I woke up early, and if you buy 12 bagels, you get 3 free. So we had 15 bagels, freshly made. You cut those, oh, they're soft and chewy, and you cut them, and then you put a smear of cream cheese on that, and you eat that. I was into my third one when I was like, what have I done? It's like, you shouldn't shop when you're hungry, right? You know, that's a mistake. But I was hungry, I was empty, and I wanted to be filled, right? And really, we live every day with the thought that, you know, there's an emptiness in us that only God can fill. Today we read about the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, the power and the presence of God, that God can come to every single person. That flame comes upon each person, not the nation of Israel, but each person can be in a relationship personally with God through the Holy Spirit. And it's so important for us today to realize that we, now I ask the question, how can some be filled with the Holy Spirit and some not? We think it's funny, right, when we read that others looking in to this beautifully diverse group that all of a sudden can understand each other, right? Different countries, different languages, customs, all of a sudden they can understand each other because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why are some filled with the Spirit and some are not? And the others looking in say, they must be drunk. And we always snicker a little bit, and Peter goes, no, time out. It's only 9 o'clock. I always think that's funny because I have friends who say, as they open a beer, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And it makes me think that there are those who, we have a terrible problem with drugs and alcohol. Wouldn't you agree? People that are seeking to fill that emptiness in their hearts with substance, right? And that substance can be anything that we think will fill that God-shaped void or emptiness in our heart. And we'll partake of it, whatever it might be. I don't know about you, but I love junk food. I mean, I could eat Doritos all day. But there's never a point when I eat a lot of Doritos or donuts, or if you go to McDonald's and you eat 3 Big Macs, do you, after you eat them, say, oh, I feel great? Don't you always feel bad when you eat junk food? When you try to fill that hunger with stuff that's just not good for you? I don't know why that's just part of who we are as sinful creatures. We end up filling ourselves with things that are just terrible for you. And it's not just physical things, but it's spiritual things too. And so I want you to think about emptying yourself so God can come in. You know, it's really all about making room. Amen? Making room for God in your heart and your soul. It's easier said than done, but I believe the number one problem we have in life is that we're not leaving room for the Holy Spirit, not making room for God in our lives. And you can't be filled with God if you're full of yourself. Have you heard of that, right?
Amen.
Amen. You cannot be full of the Holy Spirit if you're full of yourself. And in the anonymous groups, God bless them as the hidden church that are truth tellers. They say EGO, ego, easing God out. That's what ego is. So I want you to really think about how important it is today to ease God in, right? To realize every single day that you're in need and I'm in need of calling on the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. All those who call upon the name of Christ will be saved. But you have to call on the name of Jesus. And it's beautiful if you think, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is healthy for you. You know, fruits are healthy for you. And spiritually fruit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Every one of those things I think I said before, when you get a really ripe peach and you bite into that and you just let it drip all, isn't that, or watermelon? Oh, you just know that's from God, right? Same spiritually, when you are open to hunger for the fruit of the Spirit, give me some peace, please, God. I can't get that on my own. I have to call upon you and be open to receive the gift of peace. And that means you believe that God is waiting for you to call upon God. Here I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20. If anyone would hear my voice and let me in, I'll come in and I'll have supper with you. I will make you a beautiful meal of the Spirit if you call, if you hear my voice. You know, the other word in the Greek for Holy Spirit is paraclete. And I think I've joked around, you know, you need to wear your pair of cleats when you run the race of faith, right? But paraclete is the word for Holy Spirit in Greek. And it also means helper, means counselor. And it also can be defined as called to one's side, meaning you're calling God to be by your side. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. Someone said to me, why didn't the resurrected Lord stay with us? Why did Jesus ascend to heaven after being with everyone for 40 days? And that I've heard commentaries and other things that people say, well, physically, Jesus can't be with every single person around the world, right? But spiritually, through the Holy Spirit, God can be with you at any given moment, any given time, in any situation, if you welcome the Holy Spirit, if you empty yourself and then receive, be filled, be a vessel to receive the presence of God in that situation at that time. Amen? Amen. Amen. I believe there's someone right now in a situation, they're hearing these words, and they have yet to call on God to help them. Isn't that a sad thing? If you're a parent and you have a child that's struggling, don't you love to get a phone call of asking for help? God just waiting to bring the power and the presence of God to come and be with you. Amen? D.L. Moody says, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and the ambition in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. And Jesus says, I've come to give you life, life to the full. And the tough thing is we fill our lives with so much stuff that just God's Holy Spirit just kind of bounces off us because we're just not open. I had someone call me this week and they were going for a job interview and they called up and I'm driving and the person calls up, I need a prayer, Pastor John. And I said, well, I can pray with you, but I can't close my eyes. I'm driving right now. And the person said, I'll close my eyes for the both of us, is what this person said. He said, I have two job interviews today, and I just need you to pray a blessing that I know God's with me in these interviews. It's been a long time since I've had a job, and I just need to ask for help. And I asked the blessing on this person because they asked. And I'm good at, if you need, just call. I'll do phone prayers right on the phone. I ask, would you like a prayer? It's 99% of the time. Someone says, sure, I'll take one. And I just pray a blessing. And it always works. It always works. You know, the reason we were in New York City was a wedding that I officiated at the Ghana United Methodist Church in the Bronx, New York. And Kwame and Nanaba were married together. And I was there in the midst of this wonderful spirit-filled. I mean, they had a whole worship, so the whole choir was there. They just kept going and going. There was no clock. We call it Africa time. Because the same thing happens in the Congo, in Rwanda. It's so beautiful that they're just not worried about something else being more important than this time right now in worship. Amen? I know every Sunday there's parts of me that I'm thinking of what I need to get to this afternoon. That in the middle of the worship service, don't you tell me you're not already thinking about what you need to get to. Whew. You need to say, Lord, let me be centered and focused on you. Because everything that I do is better if I dedicate it to you, if I let you in to whatever situation. So yesterday morning after the bagels, I've already had my full of almost three bagels. I almost finished three big bagels. Whew. I turn on the TV and it's the royal wedding. And I was inspired right away. And I'm like, why am I drawn into this? And millions were watching on TV. And she's just getting, walking up the steps. It's a beautiful day at the chapel. And I'm like, is that the chapel at Windsor Castle? Wow. I said, that must be Westminster Abbey. No, that's just the chapel. And Meghan Markle comes out. And there's Prince Harry. And it's just like a fairy tale. It's so beautiful to have a opportunity to watch something that just has these high ideals. Amen? You know, aim high, the Bible says. Aim for love. Aim for the best. Praise God. Because when you take in what all the world is bringing, you can literally be brought down. Has anybody ever said, what's got into you, in a good way? Usually it's say, what's got into you? Because your attitude's really bad. I want people to say, what's got into you, Henry? And you say, the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm so happy. That's why I'm so kind and full of joy. And so I love the preacher who preached at Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding, and millions were watching, and it was Bishop Michael Curry. And he started off, I'm just going to read just a little bit. He starts by quoting Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's African American, this preacher, Bishop Michael Curry. And he said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, and I quote, we must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we discover that, we will be able to make of this old world a new world, for love is the only way. And the Holy Spirit was just swirling around, and you see some dour British faces. Some are letting the Holy Spirit crack them. Some are like, oh, you're not changing this. I don't care how great a preacher you are or how the Holy Spirit is moving. You're not breaking into my soul and my heart. So he keeps preaching. There's power in love. Don't underestimate it. Don't ever over-sentimentalize it. There's power. Power in love. If you don't believe me, think about a time when you first fell in love. The whole world seemed to center around you and your beloved. Oh, there's power. Power in love. Not just in its romantic forms, but every form, any shape of love, there's a certain sense in which you, when you are loved and you know it, when someone cares for you and you know it, when you love and you show it, it actually feels right. There's something right about it. And there's a reason for it. The reason has to do with the source. When we were made by a power of love, and our lives were meant and are meant to be lived in that love. That's why we are here. He knows that most of the world is watching this wedding, and he's preaching the gospel. He's bringing the word of God out into a hurting world. And he says, now, someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in all of human history, a movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world, and a movement mandating people to live that love, and in so doing, to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. And he goes on, I'm talking about some real power to change the world. If you don't believe me, well, there were some old slaves in America's antebellum South who exclaimed the dynamic power of love and why it has the power to transform. They explained it this way. They sang a spiritual, even in the midst of their captivity. It's one that says, there's a balm in Gilead, a healing balm, something that can make things right. Can I hear an amen? So I just remind you today of how important it is to let that Holy Spirit of love, that God is with us, God loves us, we're not alone, and be open to that, to direct you, to guide you, to bring love to you at any given moment if you just lay down your pride. We try to think that if we just work hard enough, then we'll earn all these gifts of the Spirit. But you'll never be good enough to earn any of those fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You have to call on the Lord. And there's times I can't sleep. I like the old saying, how did you sleep? Oh, I slept like a baby. Woke up every hour and cried. Or slept like a log. I woke up in the fireplace. No. There's times I wake up and I'm just, my mind is so full, and it's really, my heart is filled with the worry and anxiety of life. And you have to empty those. You have to lay them down and call on the Holy Spirit. Ask God for help. Ask the counselor for help. Don't think you are able to handle any problem by yourself. Trust that God can handle certain problems out of obedience. When you welcome God into your marriage, when you welcome God into any relationship, welcome God into your workplace, into those places in your heart that have been hurting for years and years, that are broken. You know, Kwame met his wife because he was helping Laurencia, who was just recovering from an abusive relationship, and she needed help carrying and moving all these items from Elmford, New York to Westboro, and Kwame went. I said, I'll help. He goes, and because he's moved by the Spirit to help someone in distress, he meets his beloved Nanaba at the hotel. And now, yesterday, after 7 years of courtship and working hard, and Nanaba graduating from nursing school, they looked at each other and their tears are just coming, because they trust in the Holy Spirit to get them through those hard times, that God brought them together. God had a plan. And so I challenge you today, we're going to have our prayer time, to make time for God for 5 minutes a day. Can you do that? If I ask you, can I have 5 minutes of your time today, would you ever say no? 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking. You might say, well, let's see if I can schedule you in. Let me get my calendar out. Well, it'll be on the phone. It'll be looking at, I can squeeze you in next Tuesday at like 2. No. I'm just asking if you, when you wake up in the morning, Denzel Washington had a great graduation speech where he said, put your slippers way underneath the bed so every morning when you have to get them, you have to get on your knees to reach them and pull them out. When you're on the knees, say a prayer to God for that day. So I'm only asking, I was going to say 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. That's too complicated. I'm just asking for 5 minutes in the morning to just say, Lord, I give you this day. I ask you to come into my life. Give me the peace and the patience that I need to face whatever I have to face. Help me welcome you. Let me empty my worries and my stress and let you come in and bring me your peace in the direction that you offer if I say yes to you. That's all you need to pray. Can you do that? Can you nod your head? Even if you're lying. You're not lying. I want you to really just try it. It's like a diet, right? You just say, I'm going to try to eat this way. And before you know it, you start feeling better. Spiritually, there's a diet. Get into God's word. Don't miss church. Pray every day. Pray every day. Communicate with God. Only 5 minutes. Every time I leave prayer group, I don't want to wake up at 4:30 every Wednesday morning. But you know what? There's a great return on that investment. Guaranteed that you, after prayer, you'll feel better. Guaranteed. So let's bow our heads and let's surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we need to repent because we have ignored the helper, the counselor, the paraclete, the one who is willing to be by our side. We feel like dead balloons or just liquid with no air inside of us. We want to live life to the full. Bless each soul here today on this Pentecost Sunday, that they would be moved and taken over by the Holy Spirit. And then others would wonder what's got into them. And we thank you, God, that nothing happens without you. We cannot love enough. We can't live enough. We can't forgive. We can't reconcile without experiencing your grace deep within. You know our brokenness. You know our failures and our regrets. You know our sin. That's why you took it to the cross. You bore them on the cross. Because you wanted us to truly be alive in the Spirit, not just physically. So, Lord, just move in this place at this very moment to light upon that soul today that needs to know you're with them. They're not alone. We thank you, God, that you bring change, that your love is that strongest force in the world. Help us to continue to remain in you and you in us, to not tire of gathering together and bowing our heads and opening our hands and our hearts and emptying our pride from our souls so that your grace can just overflow us and remind us again that you want us to be filled with love and life.
in all the fruit of the Spirit. So bless all of our prayers to you as we promise to make room for you and move out things in our hearts that are weighing us down. In this moment, bring your peace. In this moment, bring your peace for those who surrender to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we say your prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.